T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Hump Day, and it is Dukes and Bell. And we got our man Willie filling in again for Carl Dukes, who's sitting on the beach, as Hans Gruber would say, earning 20%. We've got Radio Raheem doing the engineering today. We've got Squid Billy. Takes a village to make a radio show.
Word.
And we got a lot of fun today. It's going to be a little shorter show today. We're off at 6:30 because we've got Atlanta United and NYCFC, as we just talked about, with the guys. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. We'll try to figure out with Felipe Cardenas what that roster is going to look like.
Yeah,
tonight.
It's going to be interesting, Mike. First off, I believe we have to say to the folks... 1, 2, 3.
Hey, man! There you go. His kids picked it up by day 2. This is good. This is good.
You know the way this works, man. Come on now. The other part that I wonder with this lineup, will you be able to get somebody who at least can resemble the finisher that Joseph Martinez is?
No, we don't have anybody on the team that can do what he does.
But you at least have to get the kind of spacing that he gets.
Now, I still like to see Tito in some of that role. I know people say that, you know, Tito, for all the things he does well, there's things that he doesn't do well. I presume we're going to see Brandon Vazquez, who is a big guy. Mm. You know, I mean, he's bigger than anybody we've got on the front. But, you know, sometimes he struggles with his finishing bag. But I guess I would imagine Brandon will be in that rotation tonight.
You mentioned Felipe Cardenas, who we'll talk to in about 40 minutes' time. We're going to ask him exactly what the lineup looks like. The thing that concerns me the most, Mike, that constrained pitch at Yankee Stadium is something that is very, very hard to deal with and adjust to, and it exposes you so much on the counterattack.
Yeah, and for those who don't follow soccer or you're not a United fan, but you're saying, wait a minute, how is the field not regulation? Because of the cachet of playing in Yankee Stadium, MLS has basically looked the other way, that this is not a legitimate size pitch. So it's also Etihad Airlines, who's a global sports franchise, and they've owned Manchester City. So they've been giving them a little slack on this, but everybody knows. You can basically throw the ball into the net from a sideline position.
So how do they do this when they play the pinstripe bowl for college football? That's always kind of a weird thing,
too. The football field is smaller than a soccer pitch. It is. But if you see up at NYCFC, the sight lines look funky, but they still don't have anywhere to build a new stadium, so that's why it is the way it is. But we'll talk to him about that. And then right off the top, and we'll get it in the headlines, but just first impressions, last night I was out at the movies, and by the time I got around to watching the Braves over at McRae's here in Midtown, it was already, damage was done. Julio had just been giving up a bunch of hits. But then I was like, where's Acuna? And then I have to go read Dave O'Brien on Twitter and find out that he had a hip issue, so that's scary as hell now.
If last night was the audition for Julio Teheran to be on the postseason roster or in the postseason rotation, I think he wants to junk it, Mike, because it was not good.
Last three have been really bad. Julio, he if you go back and look at the season, it was bad, it was really good, and now it's bad again. Mm-hmm. He had a nice run in and around the All-Star break and after and there was a conversation we talked about. I think Paul Byrd or Frank Corr brought it up on Fox Sports South, but his neighbor in the clubhouse is Josh Donaldson, and Donaldson said, look, man, trust yourself with the fastball, man. When you got it really rolling, you can get that thing around 92, and if you mix your pitches up, it's really effective. And when he's not, you know, spotting it, when he doesn't have the movement on his pitches, it's just batting practice, and that's, again, what it looked like. So for the second year in a row, Julio will not be pitching it, well, I would imagine, at least in the NLDS.
Yeah, the first at-bat of the game, it looked like right off the bat it wasn't going to go well because it was like a 13 or 14 pitch at-bat to Whit Merrifield. And they ended up getting a double out of it. So at that point, he was either way out of the zone or right down the middle. It was just no middle between that. And because of that, it really has me wondering, where exactly is his place on this postseason roster? I don't think there is one. And that's the part that is going to make a lot of Brave fans feel uneasy, because that means Luke Jackson's part of your roster. And while he's had a very good run lately, I'm not going to say anything bad about the run he's had lately, but you still kind of get a little nervous when you see 77 on the bump.
I'm with you. And can you ever trust him coming into a game where he's going to inherit runners on base? I mean, you kind of get a bigger lump in your throat on that scenario. And maybe could you use Julio? If it was a seven-game series we're talking about once you get to the NLCS. Is there a role for him to come out of the bullpen? Yeah, it's a little iffy. So the roster, and we'll talk more about it. Cervelli's making the case. If you didn't see it last night, he goes yard, solo shot. And you know, certainly I want him off the bench as a bat. And worst-case scenario, you plug him in maybe at first. I mean, he can do other things. And then, of course, there's Austin Riley, who last night goes 0-for-4 with three strikeouts.
He has no clue right now at the plate. He is just flailing. And that's the part of it that, once again, you go back to guys you can't trust. And the one thing that Brian Snitker is going to have to do, and the one thing that people say is the biggest criticism of him, is that he has his guys. He has loyalty to his guys, especially guys who are in the organization, who he's seen come up through the organization. I think at this point you have to make some tough big boy decisions and say, you know what, we need to do what's best for the franchise in the postseason, and that might be to not jettison Riley, but just not leave him on the postseason roster, because at this point he is hurting more than helping.
It is our man, Willie P. Willie Pelagic is in today for Carl, who's sitting down on a beach. We got plenty to dive into. As we mentioned, we'll talk to Murph about the Braves, get his take on the things we just discussed, talk more about Georgia. There was a really cool article in Dog Nation today, and I tweeted a little portion of it, talking about the dogs. And Jake Fromm, I mean, do you not trust your guy? I mean, he's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be drafted by somebody in the NFL next year. The crux of the article, in a nutshell, and we'll talk more about it at 4 o'clock with the Dog Report, was that Coley, either through hook or crook or to the guys doing the sidelines, you know, signaling the plays in, it was taking too long in the first half. So by the time Fromm gets up to the line, whether it's because of the personnel or because he doesn't have the time to really diagnose what he's seeing, you could have obviously checked out of some of your plays and gone with a vertical passing game if you give Fromm the time to do that. They go no huddle, and no huddle isn't a hurry up. It just gives, again, the quarterback more time. They do that in the second half. Things start to open up. Then the run game opens up. So maybe a learning moment for Coley. We were wondering to see how James Coley was going to respond in these big moments as OC this year.
Well, the weird part about that is, Mike, is that your tempo is not supposed to hurt you. Tempo, the whole reason you do tempo is not to go fast. It's so that you can keep the same personnel out on the field so the defense can't sub. It's not, oh, we're going to snap the football with 20 seconds to go on the play clock. That's not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is come up to the line, have the same personnel, don't sub anybody in, be conditioned enough to where you can look to the sideline and say, okay, what are they lined up in? Where is their personnel weakest at? And then you exploit where that weakness is. And we were talking about it yesterday. You can't use Jake Fromm like he's a game manager. He's not a game manager.
No, you
have to turn that guy loose. Yeah. And I know that Georgia fans will look at this and say, it is in our DNA to run the football. I understand that. One of the best offensive lines in the country and a stable of running backs that's larger than a developed country right now. Mm-hmm. But you have to at least showcase the guy with the golden arm.
I'm with you. I mean, that's what we thought we were going to see more of it. And again, your game plan is going to vary. That's why, you know, in the NFL, you look at a guy like Josh McDaniels, who varies the game plan, you know, from 1 week. If you're a fantasy owner of any of the Patriots, you never know who's going to get the lion's share of the carries. They play to their strengths or the other team's weaknesses. And we're hoping that's something Coley's going to do, because I think a lot of dog fans, okay, you know, guys like us, Carl and I, felt that, you know, Chaney didn't really go to a plan B or have a plan B at times when Georgia would, you know, get checked with something they were initially trying to do. Also today, guys, we're going to throw this around, and I saw this and I was laughing on Twitter today. You know the guy that did the sign that said beer money?
Yes.
On College Game Day, and it was really great, and they raised all this money for charity.
He's getting tabbed now.
If you do anything on social media, and again, I know because if you're familiar with my episode a few years back, but if you do anything, somebody can go back and get under your fingernails digitally and see anything you might have ever posted on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram. So no good deed goes unpunished. This guy has raised, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity, and now they find out there was some racist tweets apparently in his catalog.
Yeah, this young man, was 16 when these tweets came out. Thank the Lord that Twitter wasn't around when I was 16.
Well, thank God that nobody ever sees things that Carl and I say to each other, because
please,
that would be explosive. Or me and Craig CCV. I mean, there's things that you have tongue-in-cheek. There's things that I get it. There's no place for it, social media. For instance, back here a year ago with Sean Newcomb.
Yes.
When they went back and they found out some stuff that he had put out there when he was in high school. And I'm not saying that's led to him not being a starting pitcher anymore, but there was an effect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after it went down, that moves broke.
You have to have a stronger filter on the Twitter button and on the send button than you do on your mouth.
Right. And the man says it. Is it Coach says it. Don't press send. Herm Edwards is right about that, man. So I'll have some more on stuff like that when we get to, in case you missed it, a little bit later today.
Text line is open for you at the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Follow Mr. Mike Bell at Mike Bell ETL, yours truly at Willie P Style, and also on Twitter, me here as well, and of course the station at 929 The Game as well. Our usual visit with Dale Murphy comes your way at 3:20. You mentioned Felipe Cardenas. We'll have a member of the Falcon defense as well.
Yeah, by the way, it's a big mystery. Bo has been told is he a pro bowler of equal value? Is it a starter or equal value? A starter, a player of starter or perhaps lesser value sometimes around 4:30 when they get done with practice and meetings. We'll spin the wheel, a Falcon guess.
It'll be a Falcon roulette, hopefully.
Right. And we'll see what we get now. And I was talking today at the gym, by the way. It's pretty funny because whenever we lose, you know, nobody ever wants to come up to me when we win. Come up to me when I'm on the Stairmaster, go, how about them Falcons? No, it's only like the Eagles game. Nobody comes up and goes, whoa, we kicked the Eagles' ass. No. It's only after the loss. I got a guy who looks like Debo from Friday, and he comes over, big dude, got the gold tooth and everything, comes over to me, he's like, yeah, you better talk about that blank on the radio. It's always the negative stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I go, yes, we're 1-2. We're not happy. There's a lot of things we got to fix. But, I mean, now is still not the time. And we do have the panic button here at Dukes and Bell. It's not time yet. Now, if we lose to the Titans, we will break out the panic button. But we've got to win this game Sunday.
We, of course, had Dan Quinn on the morning show earlier today. We'll play back a little bit of that as well later on in the show. We know, of course, from yesterday's program that Jamal Carter has been elevated from the practice squad to the active roster. He and Kamal Ishmael are going to be the two guys in the fold at safety. They're going to say it's a safety by committee, and we were joking yesterday. Safety dance, is that what it's going to be? Because that to me is, I don't know if that's a plan.
Well,
Mike,
they always, I mean, remember last year we were always saying when things went down, why don't we go make a trade, try to make a splash? Other teams have been able to pull it off. Or last year, my logic was, if we're not going anywhere, dump Vic Beasley, the way the Jaguars move off of Dante Fowler. Oof. But anyway, we just don't seem to do that. I know we talked about Eric Berry yesterday, guys. We crossed that bridge. He's just not talking to any NFL teams, or at least NFL teams aren't calling him because he's just too banged up. So they're going to go with guys they believe are in-house. The Wilcox injury, it's amazing how an injury that a guy that nobody really knew about earlier this August becomes a big issue, because they were really high on Wilcox before he went down as a guy that they thought could show some depth. So Sherrod Neesman, you know, we've talked about Kamal Ishmael. These guys do know Dan's system, but it does get you, because last year, man, Keanu was huge. I mean, Debo and Keanu, that was just, devastating. Then, of course, Ricardo Allen is kind of the quarterback of your defense. And again, when he went down last year.
Still no word yet on Smith or Barner as well. Worrying about also those guys who were involved in the injuries from the previous week.
Hey, you let Sanu do your kick returns?
I
mean, he's a tremendous athlete. He's a Swiss Army knife for everything else. Wild Sanu.
It's not that I wouldn't want Sanu doing that. It's just the fact that you have him doing so many other things.
Now, punt returns, if there's nothing there, put your arm in the air.
Right.
Fair catch, and there's nobody gets hit. But, I mean, I know Justin Hardy will probably get a shake at that if Barner is out. I just want to see something, because over the last couple of years, Will, it just, we don't really get anything. When a team gets in punt formation, it's generally been time to hit the men's room or grab a beer.
Couldn't be more right about that. At least he has good hands. We're inside the Kia Studios here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, today's headlines, including what exactly are we looking for tonight in the Big Apple from the ATL, United 11-5 Stripes. Folks, Willie P, Mike Bell here with you. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell brought to you by Kia. I have to give you some credit. I watched the Sandler movie trailer. That is going to be a fun flick, man.
Yeah. Was it Uncut Stones?
Or Uncut Gems.
Right.
And Francesa is the bookie, which is the best.
Now, for those who don't follow or know the sports talk radio business, Mike Francesa is kind of like the godfather of it, and he's up there in our sister station in New York City. And he perfectly cast as an obnoxious bookie in New York. And it looks like Sandler is like this sort of like forlorn jewelry dealer who gets in over his head gambling. Interesting, though.
It's going to be something with him that could actually showcase his acting range for once.
The one with Drew Barrymore, where she has the short-term memory 50, issues.
51st Dates.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't bad. I mean, it's not anything you'd rave about. No. But I mean, but Sandler is one of those guys that when, you know, you're so used to like the 90s type stuff, when he does branch out for some of the fan base, it's hard to say, well, I don't really accept him in that role. It's like Jim Carrey did the same thing, tried to branch out of serious roles. People don't necessarily want to see that.
I wouldn't brag about his Netflix career, just put it that way. When it comes to Sandler.
He's doing stuff with like David Spade and the old gang from SNL. By the way, I went last night real quick.
Yes.
I saw Ad Astra, which is the Brad Pitt movie. And I read an article. I was telling Will about it. Yes, Will Pelagic's in for Carl today. But I was telling Will, I read this review and they said it's basically Apocalypse Now in space. And for millennials who don't know Apocalypse Now, first off, you're dead to me. But it's a legendary, everybody was doing Vietnam movies in the 70s and early 80s. And that was Coppola's one. And Martin Sheen going up the river to find Brando. And it's kind of that in space. So here's the deal. I don't want to give everything away because people want to see it.
Don't do it.
No, I'm just saying it's the first hour. The visuals are stunning. There's some really cool sequences, some action stuff. It's really, I mean, you knew it was going to be visually cool. And then the last hour, my wife's like, and she starts like, you know, she's like rustling in her seat and the popcorn. And she's like, that's like totally not plausible. Okay. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Was she calling to the bullpen?
Yeah. And I'm like, why don't you pipe down? You got 2 hours of staring at Brad Pitt, you know? And so she's like, yeah, that was the nice part about the movie. So if you want to go on a date and you like science fiction, I'm sure your wife or girlfriend will not mind staring at Brad Pitt. But anyway, Ad Astra, I will give it 3 out of 5. 5 leather helmets is what we go by. I'll give it 3 out of 5. I would say, you know what? All things being equal, maybe wait till it gets onto HBO.
So you're telling me that Brad Pitt is the fringe benefit for the...
Correct. But there's an hour. First hour is pretty tight. Mm-hmm. And one last nugget, Bo Morgan, who produces our show, we do a podcast about racing. We've been so busy because Bo also produces for the Falcons Radio Network. We're trying to get our podcast back on line for you guys. But real quick, we've talked a lot about it on the show. There's a movie coming out next, actually 2 months, in November, that I can't wait for. It's Ford versus Ferrari. This is the story of Carroll Shelby and how Henry Ford II hired him to basically tweak the cars, the GT500, to go be able and beat Ferrari at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. They had the extended trailer last night. If you're a car guy, I'm literally sitting here getting goosebumps watching. I'm like, I want to see that movie now. But anyway, when Ford versus Ferrari comes in, I think we're going to do like a guide trip. You know, we'll have a bunch of people just meet over at Atlantic Station. We'll just do what we used to do in the old days. And we'll just show up, drink beers, and go watch the movie together.
So I've been told I had to practice this. And I've been waiting. And
ready?
And I'm ready.
Let's hear it.
Let's go get some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
With Dukes and Bell.
All right, Jahi behind the board just said major fail. We were trying to build up the kids' confidence, crying out loud, man. Anyway,
apparently that wasn't good.
That's all right. I usually make Randy do it, but when Randy McMichael used to feel like, don't worry about it. Let's just move on.
The headlines as follows. Braves a 9-6 loss last night at the hands of the Kansas City Royals. We talked about all the principals involved. Julio Teheran only goes 2 1/3. Ronald Acuna leaves the game early. You mentioned, of course, in the update with Caleb, the hip flaring up. If I'm Brian Snitker, I don't play a soul rest of the way now.
Yeah, it has become a thing now, the injury bug. Of course, you know, Freddie not making the trip with the bone spurs, whatever he's got in his elbow. So now you see this hip issue. So unfortunately, the 40 stolen base pursuit of the 40-40 is not going to go down now because mm-hmm. you cannot risk it. Ender Inciarte apparently is going to be doing some working out today, according to Brian Snitker. So Ender would run the bases. He's going to hit. And they aim to him being activated by the weekend. So Ender will be available, but obviously Acuna in the bat, you can't underestimate what a big hit that would be.
Do you worry about kind of what NFL teams sometimes worry about when you rest your guys in week 17 before the playoffs? Do you worry about falling out of rhythm? And obviously with this Cardinal team who is peaking, it seems, at the absolute perfect time, do you worry about throwing off guys who, again, are in that routine every day?
Right. I mean, Austin Riley, he's got nothing to get out of. He's not going to make the cut. Then you look at a guy like Dansby. Dansby comes back from the injury, and he's lost his stroke as well. That's why you and I talked about, would you maybe platoon Echeverria and Dansby, depending on who's pitching? So, yes, long answer to a short question. I don't know what the right answer is. Obviously, you want, if you got guys banged up, to rest them, but you want to have some sort of synergy and some momentum going into the postseason. I'm with you about Cardinals. I've been saying this now for about a week, that this is a team which has got their stuff together. It's not exactly superstar power, but that's a team which potentially has some matchup issues for us.
And they can shove, too. I mean, right. Flaherty and Michaelis are no doubt guys at the top of the rotation.
We talked about Wainwright getting it together.
Exactly, and they do have some experience. Again, I know we talked about it. It's not as much experience as they used to have, but they still got Molina, they still have Wainwright, and a lot of these other guys.
At the headlines here, and we mentioned Austin Riley, 0 for 4, we talked about with 3 Ks. Francesco Cervelli, 1 for 2, a walk, a solo home run in the fifth off of Duffy. That's definitely a guy I want on the postseason roster.
Ozzie Albies, 3 for 4, 2 runs scored, hit his 24th home run of the season, 2 doubles as well for Nick Markakis. I'm happy to see that, number one, he came back earlier than expected, and that he's hitting his stride.
Right. Without a rehab start or anything. Like exactly. The old-fashioned way. Just get back in there, grip the bat, and go to work.
Grip it and rip it. Falcons back to work today after a day off yesterday. We told you on the show yesterday that Jamal Carter has been added from the practice squad to the active roster. He will split the safety duties with Kamal Ishmael, of course, in place of Keanu Neal, whose season ended abruptly Sunday with a torn Achilles. They worked out Iloka and McDonald. No call to Eric Berry. I was talking about this with Randy earlier during a break during their show. The thing about Ishmael is that he can be a bruiser. And the other part of this is that when you think about the Titans scheme, they're not as much of the horizontal and diagonal passing game as some of these other teams in the RPO world.
I don't know what their pass. I don't know how you describe their passing game. So it's effective.
Non-existent.
Right.
So I'm guessing the fact that Ishmael is as good a run stuffer as they can put back there right now on their active roster, that to me at least gives me some pause about criticizing this move.
Right. And KZ guys, Squidbilly pointed this out yesterday. He's more of the free safety size-wise. He's not that guy in the box, you know, safety that Keanu Neal would be. He's a little, he's more lead in the dumper to do that. But KZ is a ball hawk, and he can still lay, you know, he can lay the wood. But you're right. It's going to be interesting to see if the Titans try to expose, you know, whether they're going after Isaiah Oliver or plays that are maybe going to go after that side, wherever strong side safety's at. Then again, you look at the Titans, and I know we're kind of don't want to be prisoner of the moment from the Thursday night game. They've had 10 days to get their house in order. But it just identity-wise, excuse me, for their offense, there just is none. Mariota doesn't really run, I think, what did we say, 90 yards running in 3 games.
Right.
He was a sitting duck. Calais Campbell, just what he had, sack after sack. They sacked him 9 times Thursday night. This should be a game where our D-line gets good.
I think about Mariota and Winston kind of in the same vein. And I know Winston has played well the last couple of weeks, but part and parcel, but those two guys, has anybody ever fallen off a cliff sharper than those two guys in recent memory?
Right. Jameis is a guy they were over the barrel, so they picked up the option for this year. But Mariota, I don't know any team in the world that would pick up that option. We don't want him around another few years. Cam Newton's in that boat right now, unless he can have some sort of miraculous physical recovery in the next 12 months.
You know, the one thing that was always kind of characteristic of these quarterbacks is that they would never hit the open market. Are we entering a scenario, Mike, where you're going to start to see some of these guys on the open market and have to make some tough decisions on whether or not they'd pick them up?
Totally. And then, of course, right now, everybody's in love with the Kyle Allens and the Gardner Minshews of the world. And
please.
But right now, they're like the Ryan Fitzpatrick. Will they stay up there in the rarefied air, or will they come back to earth? We're going to find out.
Replacement-level quarterback is the best job in the National Football League other than maybe kicker.
Right. But if you go look at the Titans and Mariota, they got a decent defense.
You know,
you got a decent defense. Vrabel and everybody, they're coming after you. But this is a game I think everybody looked at as a W, and we still look at this as now it's, I wouldn't say must win. You go 1-3, though, you know what this show's going to be like on Monday? You don't want to know what the show's going to be like on Monday.
Don't want to know what this show's going to be like on Monday. Atlanta United's in New York tonight to take on NYCFC. Of course, Atlanta United beat them here at the Benz. Since then, though, as you said earlier, they have not lost. Pre-game at 6:30, kick right here at 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. No Joseph Martinez, no Ezekiel Barco as well for United. Vasquez will be in there. You'll wonder about how the back line plays. We talked earlier about the fact that the pitch is a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at whether or not Atlanta can be strong enough on the counterattack, maybe make some things happen, maybe get a foul in the box, something like that. Weird, fluky stuff happens in New York.
We were able to get the win last year in the playoffs, and it was a monster game. That was one that was, well, we're worried for all the things you just talked about because it's so compressed, we don't get to run and use our athletics, especially last year with Tata's type team, where we wanted to just be thoroughbreds out there. A little bit different with Frank DeBoer playing behind the ball. But remember last year, Rometty crashing the net?
Oh, yeah.
This is one where, according to our man, Jason Longshore, Barco will be back for Sunday against Montreal. Joseph will be back for the playoffs. Vasquez, we talked about earlier, is going to be the man in there. The NYCFC missing up to 3 starters, though. So whether that's injury or yellow card accumulation. So the good news is the guys in pale blue don't have everybody going at it tonight.
Expect tonight to look very much like pinball. A lot of quick transitions, a lot of Is that going to be a lot of possession time? I expect the possession time to be closer to 50-50 than you would like as a United fan tonight. The 3-5-2 will definitely play more like a 3-4-3 or a 3-4-2-1 on that field just because of the width.
And we get off a little early tonight, 6:30, the pregame with Jason and Mike from a luxurious press box at Yankee Stadium. And then, of course, the game right here on 92.9 The Game.
And those are the headlines as we sit here on this Wednesday, the 25th day of September.
And we'll talk more about the Dogs, guys. We started in the opening talking about what has been written about them. Brian Kelly talking about, we flop, we don't flop. We'll cover that at 4. But coming up next, we're going to talk some soccer.
We are. Don't forget, the Rockin' Jack Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. That comes your way about a month from now, Wednesday, October 23rd, from 4 until 7. Among the celebrities, Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Massaquah, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, and many more, a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. For more information and tickets, to go to the event page at 929thegame.com. Felipe Cardenas covers Atlanta United will talk to us about what exactly needs to happen for Atlanta to get some encouraging run as they head toward the postseason. Willie P in for Carl Dukes. It is Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Kia on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Time now for the Five Stripes preview.
The Chips score!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
It is Dukes and Mel, brought to you by Kia, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now time for that Five Stripes preview, and filling in, of course, for Mike Conti, Felipe Cardenas, who joins us now on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Felipe, Will Polonchik in for Carl, along with Mike Bell. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you both?
We're fine. This is obviously a perplexing game for United because of all the things involving the players that they do not have there, the weird pitch, and just how hot NYCFC is. How would you grade the level of this test for them going into this hostile environment known as Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, those are all valid points. It is a tricky game, you know, because there's a lot, like, off the field, there's a lot going on. You know, it's the two teams that are at the top of the Eastern Conference. So NYCFC is leading right now by 2 points. If they win tonight, they're going to clinch, you know, first place, and they're essentially going to be hosting throughout the playoffs. And so it's a big game for both teams. I think Atlanta United, they've clinched at least one playoff game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but, you know, they're the type of team that I think they still see the light. I think they still see that they can finish top of the table. So they want to do that. But at the same time, you know, I don't think Frank de Boer is seeing this match as a final. It's an important one. But like you mentioned, there are players out. You know, Joseph Martinez is out. Ezequiel Barco, we expect to not see, but I think we can get to that a little bit down the road. I think he, you know, Frank said that he's not going to play until Montreal, but I've seen him in practice, and he looks good. You know, Barco looks good. So, you know, what the balance that Frank de Boer needs to manage, you know, do you play for a draw and just kind of get out of there with a point?
Right.
Or do you go for the win and really test your roster, test the depth that you have right now? And both teams are tired. I think this is the end of the year, so teams are struggling with fitness.
It is Felipe Cardenas. You can follow on Twitter, man, at Felipe Car, and see all the articles he's writing. Good stuff, man. Yeah, I couldn't believe it, but they did go 6-0-2 since we beat them back in August 11th, 2-1. And that was arguably one of our best matches of the year, Felipe. I mean, can Brandon Vazquez do some of the things? I love Tito, but everybody seems to think like Tito is like, he's good for one job, but he's not good for the other jobs that Frank de Boer wants.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm on the Tito bandwagon too. I think he's a great player, you know, a top striker in MLS. You know, I think he would start on any team. There's no doubt in my mind that he would be a first choice player for any team in MLS. He just happens to be on, you know, a team with a lot of talent in the attacking third, and he's coming off an injury. And so, you know, early in the season when he was really healthy and at peak form, you know, he was still on the outside looking in. So this isn't really just a guy that's trying to battle fitness and get back. You know, he isn't rated as highly, you know, by Frank de Boer as he was by Tata Martino. And a lot of that has to do with system and tactics and the way that Frank de Boer wants his players to play. You know, Tito is a guy that, you know, puts his head down and just goes at people. He's very direct. He's very vertical. And if you've noticed, you know, Atlanta United plays much more, you know, their focus on possession, it has been more direct lately, but it still is a bit more methodical. And so a player like Tito, you know, he doesn't really fit in in the system, and he's fighting for places with guys like Gressel that are more established and a little bit more technical in certain places. But I think tonight, you know, it does set up for a good match for Tito. You know, he told me on Saturday that he doesn't feel completely recovered from the knee injury. He doesn't feel 100%, but he feels a lot cleaner and a lot more polished in the box. And I've seen him in practice, and he's there. He looks really good finishing in the box. I think what he tends to do good, you know, really well with the 1v1, and, you know, he still wants to get better there. But I think he's ready. And Frank said he's ready for 60 minutes. So if I'm Frank DeBoer, I would put him at the start of the game. And let's let him go for 60, see what he can do. And then from there, make adjustments.
Five Stripes Preview brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Felipe Cardenas joining us here, of course, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we look forward to Atlanta taking on NYCFC. Felipe, what role do you expect Vasquez to have tonight? Because obviously that opens up some time for him. I know he's not quite the finisher that Joseph is, but he's somebody who can get in space.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. He has a lot to improve, though. I think he hasn't been that great in front of the box. He had a little stretch during the Open Cup where he was scoring in that tournament, but in MLS he hasn't been as clean in the box. And that's, again, it's tough to do when you're fighting for minutes on a team that has Joseph Martinez scoring, you know, 15 straight games. It's tough to get on the field. But he's a bigger striker. He's more of that classic, you know, hold-up striker, you know, the classic number nine, as you will, like in the soccer lingo. He can play back to goal. He can combine. He has good feet, a nice soft touch. But and I think Frank likes him. I think Frank likes that he kind of brings a different presence, a physical presence to the attack. He said that multiple. You know, Frank has said that multiple times throughout the year that he brings him in when he needs maybe a bigger body to challenge crosses and even defend a little bit. And so, you know, he can do a little bit more than Joseph does, maybe in the defensive side of the ball. Like, he does track back a little bit more, but, you know, Joseph just simply cannot be replaced. He's like one of those few MLS players that is indispensable, and it's a tough go for anyone that's going to try to fill in. You know, even the NYCFC coach, Dominic Torrent, you know, said yesterday that he expects to see Pitti and Barco up top, which is what DeBoer did when Joseph was out during the Open Cup semifinal against Orlando. And I just read that out thinking, like, I don't know if that's gamesmanship between the two managers, or if it truly is, you know, someone, you know, if we will not see Barco until Montreal. But, you know, Vasquez, yeah, he can get into space, and if he takes his chances, you know, he can do really well in the system as well.
Talking about United guys here at tonight, 6:30 pregame, and then Jason and Michael have the call from Yankee Stadium. We got a NFL Blitz coming up here, guys, in about 10, 15 minutes. Right now it's our man Felipe Cardenas at Felipe Carr to talk United with him on social media on Twitter. When we lose, it's usually about a screw-up on defense. And I know with Tata, we always took our lumps because we're always on the attack, and we're vulnerable on the counter. You know, yep. DeBoer's a defensive-minded guy, you could argue. Well, why are we so lame sometimes defensively?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, Frank mentioned this week that, you know, he was asked about set pieces. You know, is the team, do they practice defending and kind of the set piece offensively as well? Like, you know, plan set pieces that can disorganize an opponent. Is that something that they're looking to do? Because they have not been that successful, you know, on corner kicks, on set pieces throughout the year. And so he said no, that it's not a priority because he wants the team to get more comfortable with his system. So, you know, I think that's still what it is. You know, the system, we talk a lot about it, but really what it's forced these players to do, you know, in my opinion, the biggest adjustment is that really everyone has to defend, which is very, you know, in vogue in modern football, modern soccer, where it's like everyone attacks, everyone defends. And so I think this team just doesn't have that in their DNA completely yet. And so they are a team that has certain players that if you force them to defend, you know, like a PT Martinez, who we saw early in the year when he was forced to track back, he just, that's not his game. You know, maybe he doesn't have the legs or the lungs. And then you're asking him to do something that he's just not good at. And so I think the team is still finding that balance. I truly do. And now the question is, you know, how close are they, you know, to finding that sweet spot when they get into the playoffs, which now we know that it's literally single elimination. So right. You don't have time to experiment. You don't have time. There's no margin for error. And so what does Frank DeBoer do when they get to those crucial matchups? Does he get, once again, go back and be a little bit more conservative which, let's be honest, that's what won the title for Tata Martino and Atlanta United. No goals conceded during the playoffs last season.
Felipe Cardenas on the WadeFor.com hotline. Real quick, Felipe, would you put it past Frank DeBoer using Larenovich just because of the fact that there is a constrained pitch and he's basically been used as kind of that lockdown defender in the midfield?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have it right here in my notes. You know, I'm looking at just like predicted lineups and what I would like, different types of formations that he may go with depending on what he wants to get out of the game. And I have Rometty / Larenovich right there in the midfield. So, yeah, I would not be surprised at all to see Jeff Larenovich start tonight, you know, in a matchup that, because of the dimensions of field, it really is a midfield battle. It's tight there. It gets more physical. And, you know, Larenovich really excelled in that role last season, especially, you know, in that playoff matchup up at Yankee Stadium. And it can become that type of match where it gets very narrow. And so, you know, a guy like Larenovich, who I've written before, you know, he tactically can play that classic stopper role, it's not the modern central midfielder that's kind of in, but dropping back into the defensive line, getting forward, distributing. You know, it's more of like, yeah, like you said, he's locked down, he's stationary, he's very defensively aware, and he's allowing the creative players around him to do their jobs. And so that does stabilize the midfield and really the defense as well. So, yeah, I think this is a good game for Larenovich to get in there and do some damage.
Felipe, great stuff, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, guys, anytime.
Yeah, check him out, guys, at Felipe Carr on Twitter. Really good stuff and good articles as well. And, again, he just touched on it. It's a tricky place to play, but we grinded out a playoff win there, man. And these guys have been money since we beat him in August.
Certainly so. Tune in to 92.9 of the Game this Friday for the Falcons Friday High School Game of the Week. We broadcast live the Therrell versus Frederick Douglass game at Lakewood Stadium. The Falcons organization committed to investing and growing the game of football at every level. Time for an NFL blitz. What is happening with the quarterback situation in Washington and more Antonio Brown financial news that means less money in his pocket? Willie P. in for Carl Dukes alongside Mike Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Kia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.